You're listening to an On The Move Media Co. production.
The whole premise from the start was that, like, human performance is really interesting, and let's develop something that's venture scale within the space of human performance. And, you know, hindsight's 2020. If I had perfect hindsight, on day one, I would have done or launched Ketones, but no regrets. I think every entrepreneur has their story of, like, you try out different things along the way to the point of, like, it's just like marathoning. It's like, it's a long run. Even when you sign up for entrepreneurship, knowing that it's a marathon, not a sprint, it's even like harder, longer than you think. I think what it is for me is a lot of times what I tell myself when I'm marathoning, if it's a hard training run or a race is like, and things get hard, is like, you don't have to go faster, but you just have to hold on. And I also tell myself that, like, the pain that I'm feeling is none of my business. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's irrelevant. No one asked. It doesn't matter to the task at hand. And I think some of that stuff is good for business, where it's like, yeah, just hold on. I think a lot of times we're scared of, like, the pain getting worse, or that the pain means that we're gonna blow up, or that the pain means that we're gonna have less in the tank later. It's like, just, like, quiet all those noises down and just endure it for, like, where you're at today, for, like, the current mile, and don't think that hard about the next thing. Like, you'll deal with it when you come to it. And I think that is really apt in business as well.
That was Michael Brandt. This is Marnie Salop. Thanks for tuning into my podcast, Marnie on the Move. Each week, I will be inviting interesting, innovative movers and shakers to join me on the show and share their story. You will discover and hear from thought leaders, experts, influencers, and entrepreneurs from the worlds of wellness, sports, beauty, fitness, fashion, and more. Marnie on the Move will feature an eclectic mix of people I know, work with, and think are generally doing cool things. On each episode, I sync up with my guests about life, career, and training, and showcase their expertise and story. Hello, welcome, and welcome back to the Marnie on the Move podcast. I'm your host, Marnie Salop. I am super psyched to introduce you to today's guest and his incredible company, Michael Brandt, CEO and co-founder of HVMN. That's Health Via Modern Nutrition, the creators of the popular exogenous ketone shot, Ketone IQ. If you're curious about exogenous ketones, how it all works with your nutrition and health, current race day and training fueling stack, and what this fourth macronutrient category is all about, you are going to love this conversation. Michael and I sync up about where the idea for HVMN and Ketone IQ began and how he has quickly scaled the business to multi-million dollars in revenue, including a $6 million contract with the U.S. Department of Defense. As CEO, Michael is focused on cultivating a world-class team and increasing education and access to metabolic health and performance. We chat about the world champion triathletes, Olympic runners, Tour de France cycling team, all using HVMN and Ketone IQ, along with the age groupers, recreational runners, and avid cyclists benefiting from these products and exogenous ketones. Also, it's not just for athletes. Everyday longevity-seeking individuals benefit as well, and Michael shares how. Of course, I get the inside scoop on the exercise fueling Michael for success. Michael is quite the athlete himself, with a 240 marathon PR, and he's also a triathlete. Michael shares what races he has coming up for 2024, his training, and his personal fueling and nutrition routine, including Ketone IQ. If you want to try HVMN and Ketone IQ and dial in to this awesome fuel and energy source, head over to hvmn.com/Marnie and get 30% off your first subscription order. Also, if you like what you hear, leave us a review on Apple and Spotify. Just scroll down past the episodes and click on the 5 stars on both platforms. Also, on Apple, you can leave a review. After you click on the 5 stars, there's very tiny, tiny font that says leave a review. Click on that. Leave a review. Tell us what you love about this episode, about any of the episodes, and of course, let's get social together. share this conversation, share any conversation on your social channels and your stories on Instagram, on LinkedIn, Facebook, wherever you like to get social, and tag us. We'll tag you back. All right, let's get into it. On to my conversation with Michael Brandt. Where did the idea for HVMN and Ketone IQ begin?
It's been a really fun adventure. I studied computer science in undergrad and got into biohacking, and from there got into running and marathon running and seeing what I could do to get performance gains by being smarter about the inputs and outputs into my body as a system. So I started wearing all sorts of different wearables like a decade ago, back before it was cool. It was like wearing like a continuous glucose monitor that I had to like stitch together, duct tape together from parts off of eBay, and measuring my cadence, measuring my calories, doing a lot of like different zone training methods that weren't as popular as they are today. And basically trying to see what levers I could pull to get more bang for my buck as a athlete, as a distance runner, marathoner, and started looking at everything. And in particular, I kept coming back to metabolism, the way that our bodies make and use energy. That's like, there's clearly something there. It's clearly like centered everything. We're always doing metabolism. You're doing it when you're running. You're doing it when you're thinking at your desk. You're doing it when you're recovering from a run, when you're sleeping. Like, your body's always using energy to do stuff. And as I started looking at metabolism more closely, what kept coming up is this idea of metabolic flexibility and this ability for your body to use fat and carbs and use them in different modes. And then when you're using fat, your body turns fat into something called ketones. And looking more and more at this, I started really honing in on the research around ketones in particular, and that they have these special properties, but no one had ever figured out a way to make ketones at scale. And there wasn't a way to like go to the store and buy a shot of ketones. You could do a intermittent fasting or extended fasting or a low carb diet, or there was like some very early kind of precursor stuff out there. You could like eat certain types of fat, like MCT, to like prime your body to make more ketones. There's a lot of research on like ketones themselves being really efficient, really, really good for your body and your brain, but no one had figured out a way to like make a shot where you could go to the store, go to the gym and like buy a shot of ketones. And what really, the light bulb moment for me as an entrepreneur was that I was able to go from like looking at research studies, hey, this would be a cool idea, to I got a large contract with the Department of Defense Special Operations Command, and they were very interested in doing research on exogenous ketones at a scale that like did not exist before. And to me, that was like a light bulb moment as an entrepreneur, where like, hey, the product was still very expensive and crazy tasting and no one knew what it was, but like, hey, this one really large technical customer of like the Special Operations Command was interested. And you see that with a lot of entrepreneurial stories, right? I always think about like the first like computer that was like the size of the RAM disk. It was like the size of a U-Haul. And now we all have a computer in our pocket. Like it feels like that. I mean, we're still very early, I would say, but we've come a long way since it's 2024 now, since like 2019 when we got our DoD contract to begin with.
I think the challenge with ketones, and I would love for you to talk a little bit more about ketones as to what they are for anyone who's listening who doesn't know what they are. But I do think the challenge is that they are not historically drinkable until you created Ketone IQ, because they are hard to swallow. But Ketone IQ is great, and I've been using it now for a while. So yeah, so talk to me a little bit about ketones though.
Yeah, glad to hear it. I mean, we've worked a lot on it. We're still continuing to iterate on it. And it's come a long way. That early days, like our V1 drink that we got with an early Department of Defense contract was like super harsh tasting. We lovingly referred to it as Navy SEAL juice, that like, unless you're, David Goggins or just ultra runner type person, that it was really harsh. And a lot of what we've done along the way, it's always been interesting or inspiring to me to deliver ketones, that if you could like magically drop ketones into someone's body, right, that would be cool because of all these properties we can go into, just like all these properties they have being really metabolically efficient. They don't spike your blood sugar. They don't require insulin. They feel really good. Just subjectively, it feels kind of like this runner's high type of feeling in your brain. if you could just magically airdrop ketones into someone's system, like that's really interesting. The idea of providing like energy patch. That's not sugar. Like eventually. Wave a magic wand, put a patch, whatever, like do something to get ketones in your system. That would be cool. But there's always these fundamentals of like, oh, it either it costs too much or the taste is crazy or like XYZ. It's like not possible to bridge that gap. And that's, to me, always been an engineering problem. Like, how do we do that? So a big leap that our team made, for instance, was it used to be made via like a petrochemical process where you can make a lot of things out of basically like petroleum derivatives. We're moving from that to a fully like sustainable fermentation process where now it's like little bacterias that ferment out the ketone, and that's made it like a lot more sustainable in general, and it's also, you know, a lot cleaner process, and then it's a lot better tasting too as a result. Just like, not to say it tastes like fully wonderfully amazing, but it tastes a lot better. And then, yeah, we're continuing to work on ways to make it just more like, you know, a lot of there's a lot of functional stuff that people drink, apple cider vinegar, or a lot of espresso has a really strong taste to it. There's a lot of like strong tasting stuff out there, and working on, just always working on formulating it into new other ways. But I think we have crossed a chasm where it's like, even if it does still taste crazy, it's like palatable for people that are bought in on the benefits.
I have to say, I like that kind of comparison to apple cider vinegar, because people take a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar every day. Some people, it has so many valuable properties, and it doesn't taste amazing, but you can like put it with water and put some lemon in, or you can just suck it up and drink it, and it's great for your health. Ketones have so much value for athletes, but also just for people in the world of longevity. Like if you're just sitting around at your desk, and it's great for your brain, it's great for your body. So talk to me a little bit about the many benefits of ketones for everyone.
Yeah, let's start off with like what even it is a ketone. It's a it's a source of fuel. So there's calories inside of ketones. The way that there's calories inside of sugar or fat or proteins is one thing that makes it really interesting, is that it's this fourth macronutrient, that like this canonical three macronutrients. You have fat, carbs, and protein. Everything else is a micronutrient, like vitamin B, vitamin D, vitamin K. It's all, there's no calories. That stuff is all micronutrients. It helps with crucial parts of different processes in your body. But when it comes to like calories, like what's actually fuel, it's fat, protein, and carbohydrates. And then now there's ketones, which have calories in it. So there's, for every gram of ketones, it's 7 calories. And just like for a gram of fat, there's 9 calories. Like there's a caloric association to the gram weight. And so what you're getting inside of there is energy. Like there's just chemical bonds that store energy that your body can do stuff with, that like inside of your cells, inside of metabolism, there's the currency of energy inside of our cells is ATP. Maybe people remember that from like high school biology. Like ATP, it's the energy currency of your cell. Your mitochondria is the power plant of your cell. So you're always building things up and taking care of different like waste removal processes, that kind of thing inside of your mitochondria. You're always like building and breaking things down, and that's, and using energy to do that. And ATP is this currency. And the what's really interesting about ketones is the way that they turn into ATP is really efficient. It doesn't require as much oxygen as other macronutrients, and it doesn't create as much oxidative stress. So this starts being really interesting when you're an endurance athlete and you're pushed to your limits, or if you're on top of a mountain and it's low oxygen and you're hypoxic, or you're really stressed or strained, that having this form of fuel that turns into usable energy really quickly poses all these benefits. That's what initially got the Department of Defense interested, and that's what's like continued to be really interesting to our elite athletes, as well as just like everyday people. And like, it just like, if you can look at it from like a text point of view, but then also just like when you try it out, it feels different. Like you can explain caffeine to someone, or THC, or what, to someone like all day long, but then like there's something about like when you try it, it's like, oh, interesting, like that, like, yeah, my brain does feel like it has more energy in a new, interesting way.
It gives you like a hyper focus. Well, I've been taking ketones for a long time in addition to my coffee. I mean, it's a different kind of energy than coffee, but I know that it's like good for me to focus, and it's good for your brain. It's healthy, like all those cognitive benefits. But then as an athlete, I've seen the value tremendously. You know, I've been sort of following the directions of HVMN and Ketone IQ in terms of like taking it half an hour before you go. And then all of a sudden it's like you could be like in your first 2 miles of a run or like just getting started on a ride and like maybe not feeling so great. You know, you're tired. Maybe you're just in that was that early zone, the warm up period. And then all of a sudden it's like you have this energy. It's like having like carbon plates on your shoes or something.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
You know, the other kinds of energy I do are like caffeine and sometimes cordyceps. So that's all I've got to compare it to. But I think it's great because it lasts a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Glad you're seeing good benefit from it. It's been a cool breakthrough. And I think that it's really interesting. Like when I think about the other brands or the other breakthroughs in innovation that this is similar to, I think about like how Gatorade developed electrolytes in the 1960s. And like, it wasn't really a thing before then. And then they said, hey, if you just start putting like salt and sugar electrolytes into water, that your body's gonna be more hydrated. And they tried that out with the Florida Gators in the 1960s and like turned out it worked. People were able to like hold on to their sweat better and be more hydrated in this like, you know, swampy summers in Florida. And now, you know, 40, 50 years later, 60 years later, it's a, you know, tens of billions of dollars category. There's a lot of different brands, there's a lot of different technologies and sub technologies. Gatorade's obviously still really big, but you have a lot else inside the electrolyte space. I see a very similar thing inside of ketones where we're still very early. It's just like it's this new breakthrough that like it's like if you invented electrolytes or if you invented caffeine, like we're still so early. Like the idea that you can have this form of fuel that feels this way and has these interesting benefits, it's like super efficient. And you know, we do a lot of work with besides athletes, we do a lot of work with like the, you know, mental health, brain health community. There a lot of mental health has to do with metabolism in your brain, like the way that your brain is like doing metabolism or dysregulated in how it's doing metabolism, and that can end up affecting people's mood. It can affect their appetite. It can affect a lot of different things in their day-to-day life. And that the ability to provide different metabolic fuel for that. Like the very first application of the ketogenic diet, a lot of people maybe know the ketogenic diet is like a way to force your body to make its own ketones, where you eat really low carb and your body will start making its own ketones. The first application of that was in the early 20th century with epileptic seizure patients. And they saw that when they put these patients on a ketogenic diet, that the patients reduce their instances of seizures massively. That like there's something about like glucose carbohydrate metabolism that was not working, and there was something about ketone metabolism that made their brains run a lot better. And so we were seeing similar patterns with people, you know, who have had concussions or traumatic brain injuries or Alzheimer's or early onset dementia, that like the ability to provide a different tool, a different like metabolic substrate, a different source of calories that doesn't go through the same pathways, glucose, and is a lot more efficient in a lot of ways. That's super interesting. So it's cool because like I love working with athletes. I'm an athlete. We just got back from Europe, was with one of our pro tour teams. We have a big partnership going with the team that won the Tour de France the last 2 years. That stuff's really cool. It's also really cool that the same technology goes into like just very different areas. It's like, it's pretty far up the pyramid. It's like, if you invented protein powder, you might do a lot of work. You might get started with bodybuilders, but then like, hey, this can also help like my 70-year-old dad who's older and like needs to hold on to muscle mass as he's aging. Like if you invented something as far up the pyramid as like protein or electrolytes, it turns out that like, yes, you can, athletes are fun to work with. And like sometimes the applications are really obvious with athletes because they're always pushing themselves. But like if what you invent is really far up the pyramid, then it turns out that you can help a lot of people with a lot of different types of need states.
All right. Hope you are enjoying this conversation. Just jumping in here to give a shout out to today's sponsors, Inside Tracker. Inside Tracker is the ultra personalized nutrition platform that analyzes your blood, DNA, and lifestyle to help you optimize your body from the inside out. It transforms your body's data into meaningful insights and a customized action plan of the science-backed nutrition recommendations you need to optimize your health. Get 20% off today at insidetracker.com/MarnieOnTheMove. Now, back to my conversation. As a brand starting out at a high performance level, it makes sense because that's like your test case, like you're the people that that you're getting the research and the data from. But then to kind of dial it out and mainstream it is where the real like success and being able to help the masses comes in.
I hope so. I think that the high performance is like a way to kind of illustrate it. I think a lot about brand building. I think a lot about the, you know, technology of ketones, the science research of ketones. And then the other thing I spend all day thinking about is just like brand building around that, where like you can invent a really cool technology and it doesn't go anywhere in the universe. Like,
if no one knows about it. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I think a lot about just the evolution of it and like read a lot about how other technologies have emerged and developed over time. And one thing I think a lot about, I think sports, I think athletes are really interesting. High performance people are really interesting because I think a lot of times the visuals, like it's really fun to watch someone like dunk a basketball or like sprint the end of a marathon. Like the kind of like visceral physicality of it, I think is very visual and inspiring to look at. And then that can inspire and inform like the rest that you do for people like sitting at their desk or driving, like picking your kid up from soccer practice, like the other things that are in life that are more humdrum, like me sitting at my computer typing on spreadsheets, maybe not as cool to make like a piece of content around someone typing on a spreadsheet. But I think high performers always push things to the limits in interesting ways. And then when things work at the limits, they tend to also work for people doing everyday tasks. But it's always like a lot of inventions come from people that are pushing themselves to the limits. And then I think you get a lot of interesting, like, a visual narrative value around working with like skydivers and special operators and ultra runners.
On my Instagram alone, I've seen so many people talking about ketone IQ and HBMN. It's amazing though, because they're high profile influencers or just people in like running. And obviously you're now working with some of my friends in the triathlon world, which is awesome because it's such a great space for ketones. So it clearly is working because you got me interested.
I'm curious for you, Marnie, like you've seen a lot, right? Like a lot of things come and go. Like some things are trends, they come, they go. You've seen things come and they stay around. Like what have you seen that over the years that's interesting to you, that, and like, what is it about ketones that maybe jumped out as something like worth a look? Cause I'm sure you have stuff flying across your radar all the time.
What's interesting to me about ketones is that I've been around in this industry for a long time and I understood the, you know, ketone diet, and I just felt like it was impossible, super challenging to achieve. And it's not even something necessarily that women should be doing, right? If you listen to some of the science, I mean, I'm not a nutritionist and there's all kinds of mixed science around that. But, you know, what I find the most interesting about ketones is that it's a fourth macronutrient category and that it's energy. When you're doing a marathon or I do 70.3 triathlon, like at a certain point, all the gels, all the chews, all the bars, all the carbohydrates in my water, like that's great, but it would be nice to have something else. And I'm always interested in like what that is. And I also have a very sensitive gut. So ketones are an awesome solution for me to add to the mix of my nutrition and hydration and fueling. And I also love that they're just great for metabolic health and brain health. And so it's like a win-win for me. And that's where it started for me. I was very interested in how they worked.
Yeah, that's cool. I think the gut sensitivity issue is a big one. I myself as a endurance athlete, and like you see the fact that you can only stack so much calories into your GI system at a time, especially when it's really similar, right? If it's just like you're stacking glucose and fructose and having the same gel or the same, you know, same ingredients in the same gels again and again and again, like the pathway gets maxed out, right? And like if you're doing a 70.3 or, you know, any kind of activity where you're moving at a clip, like you're burning faster than you can possibly ingest. Like that's just given. Like you're burning like hundreds of calories an hour, and you're maybe able to consume like a fraction of that.
Yeah.
And that presents a challenge, right? So like part of what you do in training is you develop the metabolic flexibility so your body's able to draw on fat, and you have the enzymes to be able to you train your gut. You train a few different things, right? Like we talk about what it means to even be trained as an endurance athlete. Like, I mean, there's a lot as far as technique and muscle strength and strength endurance. And just, if we really just zoom in on just energy systems, there's a lot even inside of that where like a lot of what you're doing in training is you're developing more metabolic flexibility. Your body's getting better at doing metabolism. You have more blood vessels through your muscles. You have more red blood cells. You have more, your red blood cells are better at carrying oxygen. All this is in service of doing more metabolism. You get better at metabolizing fat. Like you have more of the enzymes that are required to turn fat into usable energy. Your body can store a lot of fat, even as like a lean triathlete. You can store a lot of fat. You can only store a small amount of carbohydrates.
Right.
So you get through your training, your months of training, you get better, years of training, you get better at metabolic flexibility using that fat. And then the, you know, 2-3 days beforehand, you carb load. So you like fill up your carb tank to the extent that you can, you like max it out. So then on race day, you're sitting there with like a full tank of carbs, and then you have good, your body has a good ability to be able to draw on fat. And then that race day morning and like through until you cross the finish line, it's this battle of like how much calories can I take on? How much can I take calories on like faster than I am burning them? Without, and then that's where people do it.
Yeah.
Without
being sick.
Oh, we're doing it,
yeah,
right?
Like, totally.
We've all, so a lot of that's, you know, very personal. Like what do people like to mix together? Do people like gels or chews, or do they put it in their water bottles? Do they have it separately?
Right.
And what's really interesting about Ketone IQ in that scenario is that it goes through this other pathway. It doesn't require insulin. It doesn't go through the same set of chemical reactions to metabolize as carbohydrates. So it's just like, it's like you're trying to get a bunch of cars down the highway, and all of a sudden, like a whole new lane
opens up. That's a brilliant analogy. I love that.
And I mean, besides just being like more raw calories, which is interesting, I think it's just like a different type of calorie too. Like it's different. A lot of people, again, like feel like it's this more of this mental switch where like all of the cells in your body are using energy, especially when you're racing. Your glutes, your quads, your heart, your brain, like all of your cells are using energy in different ways. And the brain especially is like greedy for ketones when there's ketones present, when the rest of your body has a lot of energy demand. That like there seems to be something around ketones where like if you have the same amount of ketones or the same amount of carbs, that the ketones seem to really light up your brain in particular, which a lot of people are familiar with this like central governor effect, right? That like your brain is in charge of telling your legs to shut up and go. That like your brain is like in charge, and that like often it's your brain that poops out before your actual like calf muscle poops out. That like if you have more like go juice in your head, then you're able to wring more out of the sponges on your muscles.
That is exactly my experience with using the ketones. I was out on a run and I was like mentally like just done, and then the ketones kicked in and I was like, okay, I could do this. Something happened and I knew where it was coming from because it was just something new. How do athletes incorporate ketones and ketone IQ specifically into their fueling and hydration mix? Now people have finally learned about carbs and how to focus on the numbers. So maybe do a little comparison and then maybe talk to me about also like weight.
Yeah. The way I like to use ketone IQ, the way that our elite athletes use it, is in this protocol of have a serving 20 or 30 minutes before your effort, before your run or your race, and then have it in this ratio of like every second or third gel or carb pack that you have, like have ketone IQ. So in that kind of like 2 or 3 to 1 ratio, where like the idea is to have this blend, right? Open a new lane on the highway. So it's like 2 or 3. So it can be literally like every third gel, you have a ketone IQ at the same time. Like like as you're running your marathon, something like that. And then a lot of people will adjust up or down based on what works for them. Some people, I have a friend who like ran an entire marathon just on ketone IQ. And then some people really like low carb, or some of the super endurance people, like the 50, 100, 250 mile people, like some of them are just really into low carb, fat, ketone, like energy systems. They don't want to touch carbs because they think it's going to interrupt that. So it, for different people, they'll kind of like adjust it differently. Some people just really like ketones. Some people like the mix. I think generally you want to max out. I think that's kind of the, if I have one meta, it's like you want to basically eat as much as possible without causing stomach upset. You are fundamentally burning more than you can eat. So the more that you can like correct that equation, the better. And if you're able to mix a couple different things, then, and that lets you get in more calories per hour and it feels good. Like that's like the overall system. If I'm not like plugging Ketone IQ in particular, it's like maybe it's like swapping different gels or having a variety of different ones, or maybe there's one that you find that you really love and you only have that one, or it's like, like different types of gels. Like, if I repeat, have the same one, then my stomach has too much of it. So mixing it up. So that's an area where Ketone IQ is interesting, where it's just like other, like very low GI side. It's very liquidy. It's not like a gel. It's like water, as you know, like you just drink it. So for a lot of people that find it, it tastes a little crazy, but people find it very like easy going down. Like you don't.
On the spectrum of crazy tasting things that we as athletes have all had, it's not so bad. Honestly, I've had some pretty bad things. It's not the end of it. It's honestly I mean, I know we're talking and I'm interviewing you on my podcast, but it is doable. It is, and it's worth it, as I have to say, with Ketone IQ.
I appreciate you saying that. It's interesting. I get some very funny responses because like what we have inside of Ketone IQ, it's like it's a ketone dial and monk fruit, like a little bit of monk fruit and like not much else. You left it very just raw. It's just like the fermented ketone dial and some monk fruit. And we don't doctor it up too much. We're playing around with other product formations because a lot of the goal is like, hey, like, make this super mainstream, like get this more out there. But like to start, I think it's kind of fun to have it be really pure. And then like, I don't know, it's formulated at the end of the day, it's formulated for function over flavor.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting because it's very memorable. And so I'm being too honest here. Cause like some people, they try, they're like, whoa, this is crazy. And then other people try it and they're like, this isn't so bad. Or like, I actually get used to it and like the taste. The way that people,
It depends on your perspective.
Like I think when you first try coffee, it's like, whoa, that like, that's crazy. Black coffee. Like, I don't know. The first couple of years I had coffee, I put all this stuff inside of it. Now I just have black coffee because I like the taste of it. I think a lot of kids, when you're growing up, you don't like the taste of olives and anchovies and red wine. Like there's a lot of kombucha the first time you had.
Yeah,
dark chocolate. And so I think there's that side of like people kind of get used to it once they have it a couple of times, and then we'll keep working on other stuff. But then it becomes like a interesting equation of like, are people okay with there being a little bit of sugar in it? I think so. I think for a lot of athletes, if you put a little bit of sugar in it, and you made it taste like wonderful, I don't think people would care. Cause if you're having it alongside like a honey stinger waffle, it's like, I don't mind. I think it depends. It's interesting because like going back to the other point, we have this interesting community where like we have a lot of endurance athletes, and we also have a lot of like longevity or metabolic health people where like their entire point is they want just ketones and like they don't want any sugar. As an athlete, like I'm having both. Yeah, right. Like we're having both. You're eating both. You're burning both. You're going. And so this is what I mean when I say we're still early is like right now it was just like, let's get the pure Ketone IQ out there and let's tell a story around it. And then we're developing different, like, what would it look like if you added honey, or what would it look like if you made it into this format or that format, like larger drink or this or that. And so, we're still very early.
When you put it in that perspective, I think I've been kind of dialed into it for a while, but it is really early on. And I loved the comparison, like analogy with Gatorade, because I mean, there's so many products now and so many choices of hydration mixes that you can have. And it's like, you know, it can be, what if you're a salty sweater, then you need like 1,000 grams of sodium an hour versus like 400 that's mostly in every product. Or there's so much education, which is great, right? So people are learning how to do this, but ketones, they're so new, and Ketone IQ is new. You know, in the little bottles, you have 10 grams, right? Is it grams? 10 grams of ketones?
Yeah.
So, and then you have a bigger bottle, right? That I have not tried, but it has a stronger potency or?
Yeah, yeah. So we have the single shots, 10 grams. And then we have this larger bottle. It's a multi-serve that has 10 servings and it's more concentrated. So it's more, more flavorful. Yeah. What ends up tending to happen is that I think the shots are more approachable just because it's like single serve. You just slam it back and it's more diluted. It's really light tasting. This is what we sell. Like we're at every Equinox in America and we're in Sprouts and a bunch of natural grocery stores, Wegmans, Gelson's, in all those stores. This is a single shot. You just grab and go, have a shot of Ketron Q, which by the way, plug, if you find us in a store, like if you go to your local Equinox and you find this on the shelf, that you can like scan the QR code on the back. And there's a step-by-step for like how to get your first shot free.
Basically. Oh, wow. That's like, cool.
Instant reimburse people. So if people want to try their first shot free, they can do it that way. This single serve shot is what we sell in all our retail stores. Just grab and go. And then the larger format, it's online only. And that tends to be for more like power users that like have it a lot. So like a lot of our tour teams, like our pro tour cycling teams, like they have a lot of ketones because like
they're
riding all day, they're doing like 7-hour workouts. And then we didn't talk about it a lot, but ketones are interesting for recovery where like, again, your body's always doing metabolism. You always are using energy. If that makes sense, like you're always, when you're sleeping, you're using energy, right? You're like rebuilding your muscles, you're recovering. Like everything requires energy all the time. And there's been interesting, we've shown interesting science on ketones for recovery that it helps your muscles to resynthesize protein faster, to basically like repair your muscles after a workout faster and reuptake glycogen faster. And it seems like it helps your body naturally produce EPO. EPO has to do with your red blood cells ability to carry oxygen. So the proteins, they're just having like a ton of it. It's like water to them. And so they're more drawn to like the larger format. So
is the amount of exogenous ketones that you should be ingesting based on your body weight?
Yeah, it's similar to anything, right? Like that if you're a larger person, it's gonna take more alcohol to get you drunk or more protein to build muscle, right? Like a lot of things are dose dependent. So a lot of the recommendations that we give are for people who are around like 60 kilograms, which is 132. Yeah. So that like, definitely for larger people, like when we work with like NFL athletes who'll be like twice that much and like roughly we'll have twice as much ketones, right? To get their levels up to the same level. Like the NFL is really interested because like, we have a couple of NFL players who are investors, like Joe Montana is an investor and a couple other just like active current NFL players. And they're interested for like the brain health aspect where like if you have a concussion or TBI that like, that like you have a reduction in brain energy production, like a reduction in brain metabolism. And that's not good, right? You're basically like, there's damage done at the impact, but then if you continue to basically starve the cells, there's like added damage done over like 48, 72 hours. And if you have ketones elevated in your bloodstream, then you increase brain energy, brain metabolism, and you recover some of the loss of neurons. So that's really interesting. It's like a TBI, concussion prophylactic. And so NFL football use case, super interesting. TBI use case, super interesting.
So you've got like cyclists, you've got the NFL, you've got runners, you have ultra runners, you have all kinds of athletes, triathletes benefiting from your product.
Yeah. The idea again is be everywhere. It's interesting building a business like that. Cause like you can't be everywhere all at the same time. And
I say that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I think a lot of, you try. And I think I just learned a lot as an entrepreneur where like someone said to me that, you know, there's riches and niches and that like you really have to like focus in on certain areas and then expand. So like as much as we are in a lot of places, but you know, we're not in a spot where like every basketball player and tennis, cricket, whatever, pickleball player is using it. We're not there yet. And as an entrepreneur, it's really interesting. Like, do we try to spread out everywhere all at once? Or mainly what we do, I can just say as an entrepreneur, other people that are like, you know, thinking about building businesses or marketing or whatnot is like, it's really powerful, I think, to focus, to go really deep, to like completely saturate the endurance world. And then from there, I think you have a lot of credibility going to tennis and going to
pickleball
and soccer. And that like, if you're at that, and I think I would say like we're still early even in endurance. I think like there's still a lot of people that don't know about ketones, don't know about ketone IQ inside of endurance, that like if we want to eventually take over basketball, soccer, tennis, that
you have to build,
you have to have some like tribe and like circle of authenticity around you for anything. That you, if you're like a sock company or like you look at what like Hoka has done, right? Like I respect what Hoka has done from a shoe perspective, where like they had a really opinionated stance on the type of shoes they make for trail runners, and they just hammered that for a long, long, long time until now. One day I just pop up, my dad's wearing them going grocery shopping, and it's like, that's not what Hoka did on day one or year five or even year 10. It took a long time of being like the best shoe for this certain type. Yeah. Of the maximalist trail runner shoe type person. And I think there's some lesson inside of there. We don't have to go too far on like entrepreneurship. Although that stuff's really fun to me.
I do. Yeah. That is a lot of this podcast. What you're saying resonates with me so profoundly and deeply, because I started this podcast and I'm like all over the map in my mind, but other people, I don't know if they see that. But in terms of, I love endurance sports. I'm a triathlete and I love wellness and business. I've had a business for 20 years. Like I've helped brands launch their companies. Like that's my expertise. For me, building this media company, I want to showcase everything, and I want to bring wellness and health to athletes, and I want to bring athleticism to people who are really into wellness. And the center point or intersection is business, because everyone I talk to has some kind of business. And for me, that's very clear. But I've had people like say like, oh, you're not a triathlon podcast, or you're not a running podcast, or you're not a cycling podcast. And I get like upset, but I'm not. But like, I want to be. I don't know. So it's like always this thing with business, right? And building a brand where there's a lot of advice on the outside, and it is true. If I just focused on running all the time and those were the only people I had on my podcast, and everybody in the world of running would know me.
Well, no, I don't know. I think it's an interesting kind of meta conversation that I've had with a few different people where definitely I would say the pervading wisdom over the last, I don't know, decade or so, 5, 10 years has been like, just super focused. Just be the like, if you like underwater basket weaving, just like be the number one person in the world, be one of one, don't be the best, be the only, right? We've all heard that type of advice. Just like be super duper focused. And then get all the best underwater basket weavers on your podcast, get the top SEO on that, on the like app store, on the podcast search, like just get all, I think that's like kind of standard, like brand building 101. And then once you're there, then you can start branching out. But I think that there's some like caveats to that where like, I think people are in a way tired of the like, oh, I'm just a real estate account. Like I am only going to post real estate photos every Tuesday and Thursday. And I'm not going to be the best. I'm going to be the only like Calabasas real estate person. It's like, all right, like that's your stick. Cool. But I think what I'm seeing is like people want more authenticity. They want to see like, can we pick two or three things? Can you like be a underwater basket weaver and
underwater
like
runner
without going totally can you be an underwater runner? Can you talk about like, can you be a, like a parent? Can you like be a little funny sometimes? Can you like talk about art now and then? Like can you like without going too crazy, like can you have like a couple of secondary things that make you into an actual human? And then this is a really interesting point that my friend mentioned. The way the algorithm has changed is super interesting, where right now, like on the feed, you're just kind of like shown different stuff by people you don't follow at all.
Right.
So in a way, like the content can go viral, like regardless of who you're following is or not. Meaning like it used to be really important to like build up a following and like all of your followers are underwater basket weaver people.
Right.
And you get all the underwater basket weaver guests and you just stack. But right now, like if you have someone on your podcast who's just like interesting, period, and has nothing to do with your current follower base, but they're interesting, and then that, and then you make a clip of that and you post it, like that post that can go viral in the new world where our content is often surfaced to non-followers because of the way that the like TikTok and Reels algorithm work, right? It's like the For You page. It's like, it's less about who you follow now and more about like any given content can win on any given day. Like someone with very low followers can like get out ahead.
I had like some crazy on TikTok. This was like, I don't even know, like a year ago or so. I was in the pool with someone swimming and I made a video and I think I got like 1.5 million plays and 43,000 likes and 400 saves of me swimming with an athlete. It's like hysterical. I don't know how it happened. It's never happened again.
It rewards, it lets you do stuff that's like maybe outside. Like I had a random one where I was talking about flowers. Like I'm not a freaking gardening influencer. I don't know anything about plants, but I randomly like shared a fun fact about like a plant while I was on a hike. And like that posted really well. Is it like to that point of like you can have this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think to the extent people are like building their platforms and think about followers, I think it's interesting. I think there's more freedom now than ever to go do random stuff. I think creating a following, I mean, I just have a lot of thoughts around that in general. I think what you've done is awesome. And just like the commitment that you've had and like the kind of
perseverance,
endurance. Yeah. Yes. It's like a very clear, like endurance, like stamina, just like show up every day and compound and consistently and get better and better, just like with endurance sports. It's really cool what you've built, what you've done, and the community that you've cultivated around you.
So speaking of endurance sports, are you training for something? I know that you're a runner. You said you're a marathoner. And I know that you've also done a few triathlons. Like, what do you have coming up in your schedule besides your business?
Yeah. When I'm not being a CEO and like a new dad, I'm also running marathons. I'm a 240 marathoner, which is around a 6 minute mile pace. I want to crack 6 minutes to like get into like the 230s and just like be properly in the five somethings for the marathon, and see where I can go from there. I think just unfinished business, I think I can get a lot faster where it's like, I don't know, I'm not like, I don't think necessarily genetically gifted with a lot in the way of athleticism, but I don't know if I'm gonna go to the Olympics anytime, probably not. But I do think that like as I think what I represent is just like a normal person who's gotten really into the sport and takes it seriously. And like, just on an academic level, I learn a lot about different types of training methodologies, different types of nutrition, different like periodizing what you're doing, and then just showing up every day and having a lot of determination around it. But like, I'm a very normal I was not a D1 athlete or anything like that. I'm not like super tall or super jacked or super any, like I'm just a normal guy that like has gotten into it. And anyway, so I want to like prove to myself that just like, like a normal person can get like pretty darn good, can get like top 1% at a given thing in life if you just try at it. Like, I don't know. You're not like, there's only going to, Kipchoge or Calvin Kiptum, RIP. So like, sad. There's only super sad, by the way. Way too soon. Like, we're just getting to know the guy, right?
Yeah.
There's only one Lucy Charles or Sam Laidlow, like person that's on like the podium in the total absolute gold. But I think most people can be like quite good. They can be top, if not top 1%, top 10% at a given discipline without necessarily needing like a genetic unfair advantage by just like caring and trying. And I think it's a huge confidence builder, honestly, to like everything else you do in life. Like, I mean, it just is like, how cool do people feel after they run a marathon? It doesn't matter how fast you run a 6 hour marathon. You're still like that's still an incredible accomplishment.
And you mentioned your new dad. So, I mean, you have a business, your new dad. How old is your baby?
She's two. Yeah, she just turned two.
Wow, that's exciting.
She's cool. It's interesting how much stamina she has. Pushes me and my wife to keep up. And she's fun.
So will you be able to get back to training or...
Yeah, I balance it, right? I get in, like, I think it's possible to train, right? Like, I get in my, like, hour and a half in the morning. I have Grandma's marathon coming up. It's in Duluth.
Oh, cool.
It's in June.
Yeah.
It's, like, I don't know if it's not the biggest marathon by any stretch, but it's got a lot of, like, like cool people do it. I don't know. It's like a more, it's like a lot of like.
I've always wanted to do it. Is it cold?
I don't think it should be too cold. June in the Midwest and like Minnesota or Duluth shouldn't be too cold. Like should 50s? Be just like neutral. Yeah, 50s. I mean, it's a fun because, yeah, it's like it's in the middle of kind of nowhere. So you got to get out there. And it ends up being like a lot of more like serious amateur type people. It's not yep. like I've run Chicago and Boston and that's like those are like mega fanfare events. Those are like 30,000-50,000. Those are like an entire stadium yeah. full of people. I think Grandma's is like 9,000 like super obsessed weird people. Like and I think it's like its own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you. And it'll be its own vibe. Anyway, so I got that coming up. And yeah, my goal is very simple, which is like just get better at the marathon. Like I want to yeah. get. I want to see how good I can get at the marathon. Yeah. So I'm just training out. Like I've gotten, I think my PR is in like, yes, 240 something, 240 oh something.
Have you done the LA marathon?
No, I'm going to do that this year. It's like a B race. It's like a, like just what, like a training race in my backyard here, leading up into my build for Grandma's. I think, yeah, LA's going to be a lot of fun. I just love the whole sport, the whole scene, the whole community.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I love triathlon too. Triathlon's fun. Triathlon's arguably more fun. I think, Marnie, it's funny because, like, the reason I got pulled really into marathoning is, like, I guess a couple things. I think, honestly, like, with all the pressures of work and everything, it's just, like, a little easier when I'm traveling.
Yeah.
It's just that much harder to find a bike in a pool. And, like, I yeah. can always bring my shoes with me. And I have sometimes a pretty crazy travel schedule. And then it's also just the fact that, like, when I'm talking to, like, normal people that are maybe not endurance nuts, I think people more understand a marathon than understand, like, an Ironman or a half Ironman, like there's something about it that like, I feel like people don't, like normal people yeah, don't understand.
They don't understand. It's more
what
relatable.
What the heck a triathlon yeah, is.
It's more relatable to people.
In a weird way, yeah. right? Because like.
They still think you're crazy. But.
It's one thing and like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the whole point is like, just be a little crazy. Be like, I don't know. Just, it's fun. I think it's fun. It's interesting, like, bringing that to work, too, because, like, I think, I mean, there's a lot of endurance athletes listening in, right? I think, yeah. like, I think a lot of us get into it because we just like running. It's fun. And I don't think people are in it for, like, ego reasons or whatnot. But I do think it represents a lot, just, like, on a personal brand level, if we reflect on that for a second, that, like, when you show up at work and, like, people know that you're an endurance athlete or you meet someone for the first time and, like, it comes up, I think just like means something to people, right? That yeah. means like, oh, this person like has grit, determination, like stays till the job gets done. Like if you meet, I don't know, like a real estate agent or you meet someone that you're going to hire at your business or someone that you're going to work for, it's just like, it means a certain something. Not that like, I'm not trying to say marathons are the coolest people on, or that, sorry, that endurance athletes are the coolest people on planet Earth. Like it's also impressive if someone's
a
great
yogi.
At the cello, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yogi. Like there's a lot of ways to be impressive, but I do think there is something pretty unique about endurance sports that like when I meet another endurance athlete, to me like means something about yeah. like not just that they can like bust out watts on the bike, but it means something like I feel like this person can like do some gnarly shit. They're not going to tap out when like the spreadsheet gets hard or yeah. like they're, you know, it's too many emails in the day or whatever it is. Yeah. Like I feel like you can always go one more as an endurance athlete. And I think that just carries over in some obvious ways into yeah. the rest of someone's character.
I see. It's funny. I was going to ask you like how you see the parallels from endurance sports and business. Like just, you know, obviously you've been, when did you start HVMN? When did the company start officially?
Yeah. So like the company initially started like to incubate ideas inside of human performance in 2014, so one decade okay. ago.
Yeah.
And then discovered Ketone IQ kind of like halfway through. Literally got this Department of Defense contract in 2019. Was working on other stuff along the way. It's been an interesting kind of entrepreneurship journey, just trying different stuff out. The whole premise from the start was that like human performance is really interesting and let's develop something that's venture scale within the space of human performance. And you know, hindsight's 2020. If yeah. I had perfect hindsight on day one, I would have done or launched Ketones, but there's no regrets. I think every entrepreneur has their story of like, yeah. you know, you try out different things along the way. Yeah. I mean, it's all to the point of like, it's just like marathoning. It's like, it's a long run. Even when you sign up for entrepreneurship, knowing that it's a marathon, not a sprint, it's even like harder, longer than you think. I think what it is for me is a lot of times, like, a lot of times what I tell myself when I'm marathoning, like whether it's, if it's a hard training run or a race is like, and things get hard, is like you don't have to go faster, but you just have to hold on.
Yeah.
And like, and I also tell myself that like the pain that I'm feeling is none of my business. Like it doesn't,
that's a good one. I like that.
It doesn't matter. Like it's irrelevant. Like no one asked. Like it doesn't matter to the task at hand. And I think some of that stuff is good for business, where it's like, yeah, just hold on. Like if you can actually, I think a lot of times we're scared of like the pain getting worse, or that the pain means that we're going to blow up, or that the pain means that we're going to have less in the tank later. It's like, just like quiet all those noises down and just endure it for like where you're at today, for like the current mile. And like, don't think that hard about the next thing. Like you'll like deal with it when you come to it. And I think that is really apt in business as well. Just like, I don't know if we're gonna ever like sell the company.
Or I was just gonna ask, like, what's the future? Where do you see it going with HVMN and Ketone IQ, and like, how are you growing and expanding?
It's, you know, keep showing up. I think there's a lot exciting. The two general ways I think about the company are getting into more different verticals, like we were talking about earlier. Like I, you know, keep saturating out. So endurance vertical, really interesting. We had this cool partnership with the winner of the Tour de France last couple of years, the Team Visma Lisa bike. I was just in Europe visiting with them. Also, we have a good partnership with Sam Laidlow, who won the Ironman Championships. And we're doing a lot of research together. Just like,
Sam is
different,
awesome.
Different. Sam's a legend. He's so cool. I think he's
had him on the podcast before he was even anyone knew him back in Utah in 2022. He's an awesome athlete.
He's an incredible athlete. And I think, by the way, he's so good for the sport too, because he's just a human. Like,
yes.
He's funny. He's just like a human, like not so serious guy. And I think a lot of triathletes are like, can be robotic. Not you, obviously, but like, you know the type.
Yes, I do.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like it's, and it's wild to me, honestly. You see like someone like win some Ironman competition or whatever, and they have like 4 posts on their Instagram feed and like 600 followers. It's like, yeah, like I'm not gonna knock how anyone's approaching anything in life, because I think everyone has their own things that they're doing. But what I would say is, like, if you put a little bit of calories into like the showmanship around the sport, I think it goes a long way.
Yes,
and I understand it's not for everyone, but I do think like that's part of the fun. People want to see what you're doing. They want to see you narrating it and what you're dealing with. And yeah, if you're really sensitive about giving away your training secrets, okay, I get it. But like, I think people like seeing the vulnerability.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I totally interrupted you. I'm like famous.
So we love Sam.
Sam
Laidlow, Appreciation Committee.
Yeah.
Go Sam. And we have all this exciting stuff going on inside of endurance. So when I think about where the company goes from here, it's like continue just pushing into endurance. Like until we're in every running shoe store, bike shop, like we still have so much to do there, push there. And then there's channel expansion from there. It's like, okay, I think this is really interesting for golfers. I think it's really interesting for every college, high school football player. I think it's just keep pushing vertical expansion. And then the other thread I think about that's related but separate is just like product development. Like, what does it look like? We're talking about this a little bit earlier, but like, how do we make different formats, different formulas, different, like, should there be a like pleasant tasting, sparkly, bubbly version that's like really diluted for like, you know, your fitness girly or whatever. Like, you're, you know, it's like a little bit less hardcore than the like pure Ketone IQ shot. Like, so playing around with different ideas like that, different flavors, different added functionals, different stuff like that. Again, not in a big hurry, because I see a lot of other brands, like the founder of Vital Proteins invested in our business, and like they made the blue tub, they made put the blue tub of collagen everywhere. Like, they did so much with just a single SKU, like a single, just like, hey, here's this, the best collagen, and it's in a tub and it's a good price, and just like get that ubiquitous. I think there's a lot to like just pounding a single product out into the world for a while before you try to invent too many bells and whistles around it. But something that we're developing and have plans on is just like different product development to like help make ketones more accessible, approachable into all different types of lifestyles. And then from there, it's like, I don't know if when we sell the business, if ever, like maybe we sell it, maybe we go public, maybe we keep it private forever. I think you always want to create optionality. Like, yeah. You always want to be open to an offer. If someone wants to buy your business and it's a really good price, I think you're a fool not to, potentially. But like, I also don't think you should be in a hurry to sell your business, because then you're going to get a bad deal. It's like, if you're in a hurry to sell your house or something, like, it never goes well, right? Like, you want to like create optionality. Like, there's ways of going back into like entrepreneurship, right? Like, there's multiple different ways to make like $100 million business. And like, there's ways of doing it that are going to be more attractive to an acquirer versus less attractive. Mm. Like, it goes into more of the idiosyncrasies on business building, but like, there's ways to do it that are going to be creating more optionality versus less. Right. For instance, I mean, if you're a $100 million company and half of your revenue comes from a nutrition product and half your money comes from apparel, it's really hard for a company to buy you, right? Because like, the nutrition companies don't care about your apparel business. The apparel businesses don't care about your nutrition, generally speaking, right? Like, Nike sells apparel, not food. And like, Kellogg sells food, not apparel. So like, you'd rather, just generally, if anyone's an entrepreneur out there, you'd rather make like X dollars all mainly in one vertical. I'm not saying don't have merch or like, don't have like, but have that be like a tiny, like, that needs to be like a very clear side secondary thing of your business where like, sure, we'll make a hat, or I got my cool sweatshirt on here, but that's like less than 1% of my bottom line is like merch sales. Like, I'm not trying to be Bandit Running or whatever. Like, and they're not trying to be Ketone IQ. And like, that's just one loose advice I've picked up, is like, again, not in a hurry to sell, but like, you'd rather create optionality by making certain decisions that are going to make you ultimately more attractive to an acquirer, if that ends up being interesting.
So would you like sell to like Pepsi, do you think? Like, whoever owns Gatorade could own HVMN.
That could be interesting, right? Like, Pepsi owns Gatorade.
I mean, they're the unhealthiest company. Yeah.
yeah. I think that's always the kind of like,
it's a
moral challenge, head scratchers. Like, do you feel like they're going to continue on what you're doing, or are they just buying you to like snuff you out? Like, which is it?
And
I think that's a fair question to ask, but I think that keep options open. I think a lot of big companies are trying to get more into like healthier, better for you. They realize that selling soda all day is like not necessarily a growing market. Not that they're canceling their soda line by any means, but they are definitely like investing into other healthier lines. You know, the energy market, energy drinks, energy shots market is
it's
a big market, and it's a lot of caffeine and sugar being sold around. So if you have something that's an alternative to that, then that starts being interesting to, you know, your Red Bulls and your Monsters and companies like that. But you know, it's all very early, and I think just leave any options on the table and like have conversations with people and see what makes sense.
I mean, I think entertaining the craziest ideas is always fun, right? Like, just put it out there. Who knows? I love that you're like just starting, but I feel like you have such good momentum with the company, like just from seeing all the amazing, talented runners and athletes that are using the product, from influencers to professionals. So I think you're on a great track.
Thanks, Marnie. Appreciate it.
I'm excited. You know, I'm excited to be able to take them, because I really couldn't drink them before. Like, there was just no way. So I'm psyched.
I'm glad that you're having a good time with it. And what I would encourage people to do, and I'm always curious what people end up doing here, is like, what's your ideal mix? Like, some people like, you know, strawberry lemonade noon and water and Ketone IQ, or like the LMNT raspberry with like a squeeze of fresh lemon and Ketone IQ. Like, what's the right mix there? I always like hearing what people do. Like, you can mix it with like, because like, you want both in your system at the same time. Like, if you're trying to like stack a few things, generally people want carbs, they want electrolytes, they want ketones, they maybe want some caffeine, maybe a couple other things. So yeah, like mixing and matching, and then especially mixing and matching on like flavor profile. Like, you can make a nice like water bottle that just tastes a nice cocktail, good way to put it.
A cocktail ride.
Yeah, exactly. What I usually do is I'll have like one of my bottles is like cocktail up and the other is pure water. I find that's really helpful just to like go all or nothing on it. Cause sometimes like, I don't know, I'm just like thirsty for water. Yeah. And then sometimes I want like something that's more functional, and That's usually what I do on rides. Yeah.
I usually just take Ketone IQ as a shot half an hour before I get into any of my training sessions. And then about an hour and a half in, I'll do another shot. And depending on how long I'm out there, probably I'll alternate with gels and chews and other electrolytes and products that I'm using during my workout. Michael, this has been great. Thank you so much for dialing us into HVMN and Ketone IQ.
Yeah, this is great, Marnie. Thanks.
Thanks again for tuning into Marnie on the Move. If you like what you hear, leave us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social at Marnie on the Move for Facebook and Instagram. Head over to our website, MarnieOnTheMove.com, for more info on this episode, links in the show notes, and of course, sign up for our quarterly newsletter, The Download, to get updates, deals, giveaways, and information on future events.